Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Obama opened a brief trip to Saudi Arabia today with a one-on-one meeting with King Salman in Riyadh. The president's fourth visit to the kingdom comes amid increasingly strained relations between Saudi Arabia and the United States. There is a bill in the U.S. Senate that would allow victims of the 9/11 attacks to sue the Saudi government if it's found to have been involved. And the Saudis are deeply opposed to President Obama's outreach to Iran. Joining us now is Greg Myrie, digital editor for NPR International News. Greg, first of all, tell us more about the sensitive issues that they were dealing with at this meeting today between President Obama and King Salman of Saudi Arabia.
Well, Jeremy, a whole host of issues here, almost country by country. Iran, Yemen, Syria, there are issues between the U.S. And the Saudis on all of these fronts. This used to be such a routine visit for a U.S. president to go to Saudi, get along very well, quietly leave, no big developments. But all of these issues are out there, and the Saudis seem to express their frustration. King Salman greeted other Gulf leaders prominently on the tarmac and on live state television. When President Obama turned up, it was a lower official, the governor of Riyadh, who greeted him there. So a very calculated message from the Saudis on.
Why is that? What happened to the relationship?
Well, again, I would point to several things. Probably Iran would be the biggest or place to start. If you're in Saudi Arabia, you see Iran as the biggest single threat. And you see Iran expanding with influence in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon. And the Saudis are wondering, why is President Obama turning to Iran, Shiite Iran? And in their view, they feel they're being shunned a bit, or Obama is turning away from this long-standing relationship with Saudi Arabia and reaching out to Iran.
And from the U.S. perspective, there are things that they're not happy with when it comes to Saudi Arabia. In terms of the fight against ISIS, what is it that the Saudis are not doing that the U.S. would like them to be doing?
Right. So the goals are pretty similar, but there's a different priorities and agenda. So let's look at the war in Syria. There, the U.S. and the Saudis are part of the same coalition, and they're very much against ISIS. But when it comes to the Syrian president, Bashar Assad, there is a difference of opinion there. The Saudis really want Assad out. They see him, again, as an Iranian-supported leader, and they want to be done with him. The U.S. is much more focused on ISIS and has not been so focused on Assad. So, and there's a sense, I think, of frustration from both sides that they'd like to see the other side be doing a little more and being a little more successful.
How have low oil prices affected the relationship, and how much is that likely to come up? Because Saudi Arabia is a major producer of oil, and like all producers of oil, the price being so low really has a major effect on their economy.
Right. The simple truth is the United States is just not dependent on Middle East oil in the ways that it was in the past. We have a lot of our own oil. We import it from Canada and Mexico and other places closer to home. We still import a fair amount from Saudi Arabia, but that could easily be replaced. So it's just not the overriding critical issue that it's been in the past. And as you mentioned, the prices are so low. So the Saudis have a big budget deficit, and the Saudis are actually trying to play games in terms of production. They want to keep the price low in some ways, even though it hurts them with lower revenues, but also to punish Iran, which needs the money even more than the Saudis do. So the oil is part of this very complex mix, but the U.S. does not feel that same level of dependence that it used to.
Greg Myrie, what about the debate that's been going on over this proposed legislation in Congress that would allow the families of 9/11 victims to sue the Saudi government?
Very sensitive issue, because there's been the talk ever since 9/11. We know that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis.
Right.
And there's been this sense that we haven't heard the whole story. Maybe Saudi Arabia was involved in some level. So there's this bill that would allow the U.S. families to sue Saudi Arabia. I don't think it's going to go very far, or it's certainly a long way off. Even the Republican leaders in Congress have expressed reservations about this. even if it got through Congress, President Obama could veto it. So it's certainly stirring up a lot of controversy and friction between the two sides, but it's got a long way to go if it goes anywhere at all.
You know, every time President Obama goes to, or any U.S. president goes to China these days, there's a lot of talk about human rights. Obviously, Saudi Arabia has its own problems when it comes to human rights, mass executions and treatment of women. Is that likely to come up?
Well, it's come up in the sense that the U.S. has not pushed terribly hard against Saudi Arabia. But when they executed a Shiite cleric, Nimr al-Nimr, a few months ago, it led to real frictions, and Saudi Arabia and Iran cut off relations. So more than just that single case, it has far-reaching ramifications between the Saudis and the Iranians and, by extension, the United States.
Greg Myrie, NPR digital editor for International News, as President Obama begins his trip to Saudi Arabia. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.